for everyone's information who hasn't attended before, we do record these meetings, and that recording has started. You should see a notice up on your screen. Roll call on the telephone: myself, Ms. Sherry Schaefer, Fire Marshal Kyle Green, Mr. John Kruna, Ms. Tammy Gogia Cockrell, Mr. Pete Rogel, Mr. Jim Goodman, Mr. Chris Martin, A1C Caitlin DeHart, Mr. Henry Cole, Mr. John Rockwell, Mr. Mickey Flores, Ms. Erin Calwara. Is there anybody else on the phone whose name I have not called?
Zach Hess from Motorola is here.
Thank you, Zach. Anyone else?
Hi, Sherry. Dave Patterson.
Thank you, Dave. Anyone else? Okay, President Anchorage.
Hey, Sherry, in the room, this is Paul Hussey. We have Mr. Stormo, Mr. Fonestock, Mr. Reed, Mr. Woodall, and guest Naomi Aldrich, Customer Support Manager for Motorola Solutions.
Thank you very much. And that does complete the roll call.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it very much. And it sounds like we've already started the introductions of the guests. Do we have any new members online? Hearing none, we could start with the first agenda item, which is the review and approval of the March meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody had a chance to look through the March meeting minutes. At this time, I open the floor for any updates or suggestions. Or how about a move to approve?
This is Henry Cole. I'll move to approve the minutes.
Thank you. And if I could get a second, I would appreciate it.
Kyle Green, second.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Again, the floor is open for any updates, comments, suggestions, changes. Hearing none, we can approve the March meeting minutes and move on to the issues, review the issues and risk log. There are no changes to the IR log and no action items from the last March meeting at this time. Any questions? If not, we can continue with the agenda with the operations management overview. And I turn the mic over to Mr. Paul Fussey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Welcome, everyone. So starting out with my report, so the March document reviews. So we went through quite a few in March. It's kind of a busy month. We went through and updated the system management office customer support plan, the virus protection policy and procedure, the records management policy and procedure, the system backup recovery policy and procedure, and the system key usage policy and procedure. Kind of a heavy lift for March, but those were all completed. As I go through here, I'm going to move over to the metrics. So if you start looking at the numbers here, for calls, we had 1.6 million push to talks were 2.6 million. And if you look at our busies, we had 1,576, still well below 1%, 0.009%. Kind of curious on why there was a spike in there. So we started doing some research. Excuse me. There was a military exercise that accounted for majority of those busies. There was an additional 8,000 soldiers and more than 500 military vehicles took part in the exercise. That was out in the open forum there. Found that on the couple of different websites on that. So that was a huge influx on there. But once again, if you start looking at the amount of busies, that's a very still small percentage. So subscriber count, we're at 25,500 up 110 from last meeting. Sites below 3.9, there was 9 of them. And as you can see on the list here, start looking at some of them. Some of them were the circuits, which were beyond our control, and also we're starting our PMIs. And then for our website, we've had 329 sessions with 178 users. 81% of those were new. So hopefully, as we talk and push out the website more, it's getting more and more use. Any questions on that before I continue?
Mr. Kyle Green has a question. Kyle?
Thank you. Kyle Green from Northern Region. So I really appreciate these metrics. I appreciate the information in them. I'm wondering if there would be any way an interest in delving into the specific regions for these metrics a little bit more than just a global view. I got some questions brought to me about these numbers and, well, how much of that is this region versus that region? Can we do that? And can we do that?
Can you do it by region? Or do you have... Mr. Green, we're having a discussion here at the table to see if we can answer your question there. So, Mr. Green, this is Paul Fussy. We just had a discussion on the table. I just muted it for a second. I was taking some notes here. You'd have to go by site and then extrapolate from there and then look at regions and get an average. It's a pretty heavy lift. Ms. Nick?
Yep, that would be great. Yep.
So, is there something in particular you're looking for, Mr. Green, that might be able to isolate for you?
Well, I mean, I also have the interest of understanding what the system usage is based upon region. I mean, overall, you know, I really appreciate these numbers to know how overall the system is being used. But at a regional level, I think there's some value in that for future planning and infrastructure planning and knowing about regional. You know, if we see growth occurring in a certain region of its use, which I suspect is true for our northern region with the addition of some agencies down in the Parks Highway corridor, and then some expansion of stuff going out, I believe occurring in Delta. It would be nice to track that and see what that is for Northern Region. But I also think, you know, not just thinking of ourselves, there probably is some benefit to the other regions. I'm sure the Anchorage Municipal Area and all that down there in Central would see the bulk of it being used. But when talking to our local representatives or just the fire chiefs or police chiefs or the users, like, hey, this is what we're seeing here in our region for the system use and in its impacts.
Would the monthly, like the busies report, without doing all the math, just taking what that product that comes out of Genesis, maybe help him look, talk about what he's looking at, it'd be again by site.
And again, Scott Stormo, this is John Rockwell. If you recall, a few months ago, I received a report similar to that in a spreadsheet. At that point, I was able to take the site and then map them to the regions. I had a request from the legislators, and they wanted it broken down by legislative district. And so I had to do the manual mapping. But once I did that manual mapping, I was able to come up with the answers they wanted. So Kyle, I think that if you request maybe just the raw report, you know, and then take the time to break it out, you might be able to be successful with answering some of the questions. And Scott, I don't know if that helps or hinders what you're gonna suggest.
Well, I think that's what we were just talking about, is there's that manual effort afterwards. I don't know if there's an automated way to have Genesis like group by regions or not, but we can look at it. I don't know if there is or is not.
I can also look at that. With
this is this is Henry Cole with DOT. I don't know what format your data, your raw data is in, but if it's got geographic coordinates tied to the sites, our TGIS section should be able to map that against legislative districts, house districts, I mean, as well as other geographic boundaries, if the format is already there.
Well, another this is Nick from the Aylmer Help Desk, but another variable to consider into that as well is whether are you talking about where the call originated from or where it's going to, in which case a single call that may originate in Anchorage may go down to Juneau and Fairbanks and many other locations all at the same time.
So correct. That's why I had to normalize that data, Nick, and make assumptions. You're right. We could not give the accurate count because, you know, how do you say if it's a call going from Anchorage to Mat-Su, you know, is it the Anchorage side or the Mat-Su side? Well, it's both. Right. And so you have to make some assumptions, and therefore, along with the data itself, you know, you have to add those, you know, those notes to the data. And but I still felt that it helped, and it did take a little bit of time, but it was worth it. And if either Mr. Cole, if depending on how we can get the data, or Kyle, if you're willing to do just a little bit of, you know, level of effort to map the towers, I think you can get fairly close, if not at least a general idea of percentages when we look at these numbers. You know, like, oh yeah, 51% is mine or 20% is mine, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, Kyle Green here. Mr. Rockwell, I appreciate what you had to do. I'm not looking for any immediate results per se. And I'm not sure we have to be, like, in my opinion, when we're looking at use in the regions, it doesn't have to be like super specific. You know, and I appreciate how the system works. Like, it's going to be kind of sometimes difficult to tell based upon where a call is originating and where it's getting sent to, like which region you would associate that to. But I think this is an instance where if we can identify what data point would be close enough to associate it by region and drill and like provide some type of output that's automated that doesn't require this heavy lift, there's some value in that for us as users, user representatives, especially in having that information available. And being able to advocate for LMR and its use and its support. So I'm not sure if I'm smelling a motion to be brewed here for a longer term suggestion of a project to support that. But I'd like to learn more on how we can maybe get to that point to where we can be a little bit more geospatially specific with this data. And provide more value to it than just some. I mean, the numbers on the graph are still a good indication of overall system use. But again, to Mr. Rockwell's information he just provided, there are people asking more specific questions. And I think having something like that close enough for geographic use is beneficial for us as advocates.
So maybe instead of a motion, we could just have an action item to look into if it's feasible to provide that system metrics at a system level through possibly existing tools. And then if not, we can then do another action item to see what it would take. And we could do, instead of, you know, just looking at the system office, but maybe then we could take it at a user level to see what other tools we have. Does that make sense to you, Kyle? And then Nick, would that be something that you could take on as an action item just to look into?
Yeah, I can definitely look into it.
Okay, yeah, thank Kyle you very Green much. Here.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Rockwell. And Kyle Green here, I would say region. I don't necessarily need to know a specific user agency, but the region that we've identified for our region areas, I think that would be beneficial. Thank you.
Thank you. And back to you, Paul.
This is Sherry.
Go ahead, Sherry.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, Kyle, originally you asked about busies. So is that what you're looking for generally to start with, is just busies in, say, the northern region? You want the busies broken out by region. Was that your initial request?
Thank you, Sherry. Not just the busies, but I'm also interested in the push-to-talks, where those calls are coming from, if we can identify that, and again, close enough. And I guess there's some more I need to learn about what these numbers on the busies graph actually mean, where those busies are measured from. Does that mean when a radio might be hitting multiple towers, like say a radio transmits and it hits two or three towers? Does that mean maybe one of those three towers or two of those three towers are now one of those busies if it can't receive or transmit the call? I'm not sure I understand that. But both those graphs, both the monthly push-to-talks, monthly busies, being regionalized based upon our ALMR user regions.
Mr. Green, this is Nick again. To answer your question with that is, the busies, there's two terms, all start and fast start. In this scenario, most of the radios out there are set for all start, meaning for me to transmit on my radio, everyone that's listening has to be able to listen before my call can go through. If even one site out there for one radio is busy or can't receive that said call, then that whole transmit or talk group call is busy.
And that would count as one busy.
That would count as one busy for one site, yes.
Great. Yeah, that's fantastic. Okay, I appreciate that info. So, but also, it also kind of reiterates the two that data that's close enough that accurately represents the use or busies without, like, because the users that I'm talking with and other folks are asking about ALMR, they don't understand or necessarily want to know what is what. They want to see the global picture as far as what this region is, how it's using ALMR. And so that's where I'm kind of on the close enough is like distilling all of that technical information to make a visual product that accurately or somewhat accurately, mostly accurately describes these busies in these regions or the push to talks or the monthly group and individual calls. Seeing that by region.
This is Mr. Green. This is Paul Fussy. Nick and I will take a look at it. And Sherry, you have it down as an action item now, correct?
Yes, I do.
All right. Anything else, Mr. Green, before I move on? I want to make sure that we've answered any questions you may have at this time.
No, that's all I have. Thank you for hearing my my questions and suggestion.
My pleasure. Without anything further, Mr. Chair, I'll continue on. So the next item, we start looking at other items. So the International Wireless Communication Expo, or the IWCE, just finished up last week. So myself and some members of the APSCS office went down, spent 2 days going through a lot of different sessions and seminars. Very heavy on P25 and security and interoperability. And then the next day and a half was spent talking to the different vendors, equipment managers, up to and including antennas, tower lights, tower equipment, generators, shelters. So really good visit down there. Talked to some of the vendors that we're already dealing with and new ones also. So very good with that expo on that one. I want to say thank you to everyone who has been rebooting their consulates. I've been mentioning it last couple of months at the UC meetings. That number has drastically dropped. There's still some out there that I need to get a hold of, the individuals that haven't rebooted their consulate. But the latest metrics that I've received today, the number has dropped quite a bit. Council at? The councils.
Councils.
Computers. Computers, yeah. So for outreach and training, working with Mr. Nelson, he's finishing up a couple more training videos. They should be posted on the website on Monday. He's also working on setting up a TDMA town hall class for this quarter. So he's just starting on the PowerPoints for that one. If you look on the ALMR website, we do have some new training videos that are on there. He posted. So any questions on that one, go on the website and take a look at the new training videos. Also, removing old radios from the system. So the last couple of weeks, we've had several users send in some subscriber requests to add their new TDMA-capable radios, which are wonderful. So Nick and his team have been working and completing those subscriber requests and getting those radios on the system. However, as a friendly reminder, as you're getting your new radios on the system and you're starting to not use your old radios, please send in a subscriber request to have them removed. So any of the old or unused radios for optimum accounting and optimum use be preferable once you get the new ones up and running and issued out. Those old ones, if you have in a storage closet or in a shelf somewhere, they need to be taken off the system also. So appreciate that once you get the new ones on. Also, I know the last couple of user council meetings, we've had lots of questions about the APX Next radios and some of their features. I know Mr. Reed has been giving little briefings on there. However, they did request, Motorola did reach out and request to demonstrate some APX Next systems. However, we're still waiting for FedRAMP approval, and Nick and I and the ALMR team will have to do ATP testing on those to get them onto the system. So that's where we're at with that, but they have reached out to us on that one. So pending any further questions, that's what I have for my notes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Paul. Do we have any questions for Mr. Fussy? Hearing none, we can move to the system management office and turn it over to Mr. Fenestock. Nick?
Thank you, John. So I don't got a lot to add in. You know, like Paul mentioned, we're doing PMIs. PMIs are year-round, but it is starting to become into the summer months here soon. So we're going to start picking that up. You know, it's asked that all users kind of bear with us as we go through and do these PMIs, you know, with the downtimes that are associated to these said sites. That's all I've got.
Are we seeing any issue with Sino being turned off for the moment?
No. So one of the things that I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just asking if you could repeat Scott's comment, please.
Okay. So what Paul had shown up there with the Saddle Mountain Channel 1 issue, it's gotten a little bit worse. So we've actually turned it off. We're kind of waiting for Mother Nature to allow us to go up to that mountain to fix it. And what Scott was saying is, you know, if there's any kind of issues associated with us turning that site, Saddle Mountain, off for the time being. And my answer to that is there hasn't been all the radios that were affiliated to that did roam over to other sites that are nearby until we're able to actually get up there and repair it.
The weather issue now, right?
And that's it, John.
Okay, thank you. And could you just remind us where Saddle Mountain is?
Juneau.
Excellent. Thank you very much, gentlemen. All right. Any questions for Nick? Hearing none, we can move to the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. We'll start with State of Alaska and turn it over to Mr. Stormo. Scott?
Just one thing to add to the Smart Connector. Like you said, we're still waiting FedRAMP approval, but it is making positive steps forward, so the expectation is it will be coming shortly. Motorola has a freeze on the system as part of the upgrades that are still ongoing. That's kind of running through much of the month of May, so they have due to that, they have pushed the Smart Connect implementation off until the June timeframe. So hopefully in June, we will, if all goes well with that FedRAMP approval, they'll be up here and getting that installed and configured on the system, and we can start seeing how that works. I've heard good things from others that are using it, so hopefully it's a promising addition to the system up here as well. There are several places that I have heard that basically have switched entirely to Apex Next radios just because of that ability to roam onto the Stone network. Radio management, we've got that project board. We've had a kickoff meeting, but don't have any timelines or anything set up for that. And again, just as a reminder, that allows you to do programming over the air, either through the LMR system, which will allow minor changes because it doesn't have a lot of throughput, or through Wi-Fi or direct connecting to a computer that is somehow connected back into radio management. Depending on how you're doing it, it's got to be an Apex radio. It won't work on the older XTS radios or XTL radios. And this is a Motorola product, so it works on Motorola's radios. The other manufacturers maybe have their own versions of remote programming, but this is the Motorola product that we're looking at. And some radios, depending on how you do it, like if you're going to do it through the ALMR system, you've got to have a feature set known as OTAP enabled on your radio. So primarily we're starting with the GPS. GPS made a large order of 660 radios, and all of those came capable to do this. So that's kind of where we're going to start and see how this works. And it looks like we are finally going to start the TDMA process this summer, probably later in June. One of the major hangups has been getting the appropriate routers that need to go at the RF sites. They are severely supply chain constrained, and it seems like Motorola has finally been able to obtain a number of them so they can try to get a bunch of our sites cut over to TDMA this summer. It wasn't enough to do all of them, and I'm not sure there's enough time this summer to do all the sites anyways, but they're going to have a pretty aggressive schedule to try to get 50 or so of the sites done before winter rolls in. And that's all I have, pending any questions.
Thank you very much, Scott. Are there any questions for Mr. Stormo? One thing I would like to bring up, Scott, you were talking earlier today even about the Connect product and the possibility of even using Wi-Fi in the vehicles. Do you want to like share some of your thoughts? Because this is more than just, you know, utilizing an APX Next in an environment that is outside of maybe radio coverage, right?
Right. It's another, again, an Apex radio that is Wi-Fi capable, that has Wi-Fi feature set on it. It has to be programmed into the radio. So the example we were talking about earlier today was GPS having cradle point routers in their vehicles. If they have the Wi-Fi enabled and they have the SSID, sounds like maybe going to be standardized, so it might be easier to program that way. If you take Nikiski as the example, where sometimes they say when they get out of the vehicle, they can't talk on their portable. If their portable is connected to that cradle or Sierra wireless Wi-Fi bubble in their vehicle, they would still be able to talk the same way they would be able to talk, for example, through the cell network. So either cell network or Wi-Fi, if it's programmed in the radio, is another way to use Smart Connect to be on ALMR.
Excellent. Thanks, Scott. Yeah, I know there's going to be a lot more to come on this, you know, connected car and connected radio system, so I appreciate it. Also, I see, Kyle, you have your hand up.
Yeah, thank you. we are super excited about the Smart Connect becoming available. Look forward to continued discussions with it. I've been in meetings I can't attend. I've been keeping up with the notes and talking with Chief Barry. And one of the questions, though, I apologize if I'm missing it, but in my understanding that the Smart Connect feature will be eventually available to ALMR users. Is that my understanding, or is that going to stay within DPS?
No, the Smart Connect will be on the system, so it'll be available to anyone who has the radios capable of using it. I don't think there was there a licensing for Smart Connect on the radio?
I can ask Sam, but I don't know the answer off the top of my head.
Yeah, then you might, like, for example, you've got to have Wi-Fi, or you have to have an Apex Next radio. Presumably, if you have the Apex Next radio, that's coming with everything necessary to connect through the LTE network. But I think if you have a Wi-Fi capable radio, the feature has to be enabled, which was not a normal feature, I don't think, for most of us. So it's probably not on most people's radios. And then you may have to have a Smart Connect feature. I do not recall if that was a feature set or not, but we could get that looked into pretty easily.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Here at UFD, with our partnership with FirstNet, we've created a system for one of the command vehicles that we're testing right now using the Mega Range equipment for FirstNet connectivity, then utilizing a Sierra Wireless MG90 router to rebroadcast a Wi-Fi signal. And so the testing side of it is driving around and comparing or looking at cell coverage areas that I can measure as I'm driving down the road. Actually completed a round trip down the Parks Highway through Anchorage on the Glen and then back up to Richardson, collecting all of that recently, last month or so. So, and we are acquiring the 8000s that have the Wi-Fi capability. We have to replace our radio fleet. We can't wait for the APX Next, but we will be, as soon as the APX Next are being acquired, we will be purchasing those, as well as I'm aware some other user agencies that will be doing that, with the idea that Wi-Fi connectivity, particularly in government buildings where we can have MOAs, MOUs to use those secure networks. That's an important part of it, is having secure Wi-Fi networks to be able to transmit on. We're excited for that reason. So back to the user council side of things, I'm wondering, is it time or something we need to start thinking about a policy related to the Smart Connect use and its connection to ALMR through networks, things like that? Is it time to start talking about that, or have we already? I apologize if we have.
Let me specifically look at how that Smart Connect package will connect into the network. If it works the same way as the APX Next system, it's going to connect through the LTE network into the federal secure cloud for Motorola. And there's going to be an approved connection from there back to the network in order to route that information. But I'll have to check on Secure Connect to see what that does.
And Sherry, this is Paul. That was Mr. Reed talking.
Yes, thank you.
So then there would probably be some policy documents or other guidelines put out to these user agencies that if they're interested in taking advantage of this, I mean, they're going to have to follow certain procedures to ensure security of the communications, whether VPN or other technology like that.
As far as people's Wi-Fi networks are concerned, we are not going to be managing those networks in any way. Those networks are going to connect through the internet, and your radios know where to go to reach back into ALMR. That's how that works. If the radio does not connect directly to ALMR, the radio will connect to the federal secure cloud, and that will manage everything else. And we do not have control over that cloud on a system level here.
But there still would be worth putting some kind of document together that at a minimum just talk about these are the feature sets if you want to do these types of things, and maybe a little you know, help as to how to set them up. Or
there are specific ports that do need to be open. So.
Well, and you've got to program the SSIDs, so just to make sure everybody doesn't think, you know, anywhere they're at, they just connect to the Starbucks Wi-Fi, it's not going to work. They've got to have it programmed into the radio, so.
Fair enough.
So conversations to stay tuned on a policy creation to guide user agencies on how to properly connect to that federal cloud server. I'm sure they have rules to connect to it. You'd have to figure out how to communicate.
I don't think we know enough about it yet because it's not here, but I think kind of like he was explaining, I don't think it cares where you're coming from on the internet.
No.
So it's whether it was through your secure Wi-Fi or an unsecure Wi-Fi, I don't think it's going to...
Correct. It's basically acting as additional radio or additional sites. So when you radio in, it checks to make sure your radio is authorized to be on the network, and it shows that it's coming from those sites when it comes into the ALMR network.
Okay. And that's probably going to see it connected to the government cloud, not Joe's coffee shop.
So. Correct. The government cloud is like two different radio sites.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I'll stay tuned. And if I would put my name out there for helping with that policy document, to have that local representation up here in the northern region to help folks sort this out as we transition into this next generation of emergency responder communications. Thank you.
Thank you, Kyle.
One more quick thing to add to that. We have some Apex Next radios that we could, if you don't have one, we can, the idea is to maybe get them in the hands of some people who can play with them to help understand that and help put together that type of guidance or instruction. So if you sound like you might be worth having one of those when we get to that point to test it out, help figure out how it really works.
I will, on behalf of Chief Kuiper, University Fire Department is absolutely interested, and we'll even arrange with FirstNet to get a SIM card so we can test both those sides. We have additionally the University of Alaska Fairbanks, which is a UA network that, you know, we can get it programmed to talk in for our buildings here on campus. We have rather good Wi-Fi coverage in those buildings. So in addition to the vehicle I've talked about that I have that broadcast Wi-Fi from it at this time. So feel free to contact me offline, and I look forward to working with ALMR to bring this next gen in. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen. Are there any other questions for Mr. Stormo? Hearing none, we can go to DOD. Mr. Woodall.
Yeah, good afternoon. News with the DOD, the Air Force has just implemented a Air Force Enterprise LMR capability. They're going to manage LMR from an enterprise perspective. Army and Navy have already been doing that for some time. The reason I mention it is that ALMR does not fit nicely into their very large enterprise program approach, and it creates some funding and policy conflicts that we have to work and work very diligently to ensure that. That we're in line with life cycle funding requirements, as we've seen with the Army in their enterprise LMR, they prioritize their systems and their updates according to the enterprise priority requirements. And often the radio sites in Alaska that belong to the DOD operate on are not prioritized in those same measures. So that even drives heavier the requirement that we have an interagency or intergovernmental service agreement to address the fiduciary responsibilities of the agencies with regard to the cooperative partnership within Alaska Land Mobile Radio. Congress has established a program that the DOD and all federal government agencies can participate in, called the Cooperative Government Partner, Governmental Partnership, Cooperative Partnership, and so that program says that any government agency, federal, state, or local, that is using the same type of services can share those services, can share contracts together. So our ability to establish ourselves and work within the enterprise LMR networks that Army, Navy, and Air Force are having will drive us to have more deeply and more effectively have an intergovernmental service agreement that supports our funding requirements. So we are we're in the drafting stage of that. We're identifying the stakeholders, the agencies with specific responsibilities. That would be contracting, finance, you know, who's going to pay, what agencies are responsible for processing the funding, site facility access for Motorola contractors going on into on the sites, agency fiduciary responsibilities, contract administration, invoicing, O&M, and operations management, and lifecycle management will all be detailed in specific instruction and agreement. So I know it's kind of boring, but that is going on, and within the next 60 days or so, you may see that pushed out to you for coordination at your levels. And again, because this is an intergovernmental service agreement, it will cover all the government agencies participating in Alaska Land Mobile Radio that have fiduciary responsibilities. So any questions on that?
Tim, this is John. I want to thank you very much for pushing this. This is going to help tremendously when it comes to synchronizing the upgrades, synchronizing the system status. I know that every time we are faced with moving the system forward, we have to negotiate, you know, with the three main partners that have different fiduciary responsibilities, with have different calendars as far as year ends and starts and how they get money and all that kind of stuff. And so this will solidify that into one document. And I really appreciate you taking charge of this. So thank you.
I think it's a executive council agreed upon requirement. So we're just working it together.
Mr. Modesty, thanks, Tim. Are there any questions for either Tim or DOD in general? Well, again, thank you. We can move on to the next agenda item, which is the user council updates. And I will start with SOA. Are there any updates from any of the SOA components?
Well, this is Henry Cole. I've got nothing to add for DOT.
Thank you, Henry. I have nothing from DPS that hasn't already been mentioned. Any all others? Moving on to DOD. Any updates from the DOD component?
The same on TD Heart. Nothing to report.
Well, thank you very much. How about federal, non-DOD?
Nothing from the FBI, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. And we can move to municipal component. Any updates from the municipal components?
This is Tammy.
Oh, Jim, you have to say something. Thanks, Tammy. I appreciate it. And all I was going to say is, Jim, you have to say something. I have to hear your voice.
Well, if I remember to turn off the mute button. Hello, now you've heard my voice.
Yeah, there you go.
Technical stuff. We've got some technical stuff that we're working on here in Palmer, and when I have real hard information, I will pass it on to the group.
Thank you very much. Anybody else? How about new business? We can move on to new business. Anybody want to bring up new business? Well, before I ask for a move to adjourn, our next meetings are currently scheduled for May 3rd and June 7th. And I'd like to open the floor for any additional questions or comments.
Jim Goodman has a question.
Yes, sir.
Is Mr. Fussy going to be available for a phone call after the meeting?
Yes, I am.
All right. Tag, you're it.
Anybody else? Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I would move to adjourn, and can I get a second?
Jim Goodman.
Excuse me. This is Henry Cole. I'll second.
Thank you, gentlemen. Paul, I don't think we have any scheduled presentations after this meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. And I've checked here in the room. No additional comments or statements for this group. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day.